You're listening to Election Night live from NPR News.
And in collaboration with NPR, you're listening to Oklahoma Engage special election coverage on KGOU, KOSU, and KCCU. I'm Jacob McClellan with Rachel Hubbard. Follow us and post your questions and photos with the hashtag Oklahoma Engaged. You can also see a running live results total at KOSU.org, KGOU.org, and KCCU.org. The polls closed just 15 minutes ago, Rachel, and we are already starting to see some results trickle in.
Yeah, right now what we're seeing, Jacob, are these early voting results of absentee mail and early voting. The two things that are coming out as somewhat striking in the very early votes, and keep in mind that no actual precincts have reported. In the Congressional District 5 race, Democrat Kendra Horn comes out with an early lead. She has 56% of the vote compared to 44% of the vote for Republican incumbent Steve Russell. And that was predicted to be the most competitive congressional race. The others are very far apart already. The other thing that we're seeing is an early lead among these absentee and early voting ballots for governor, for Drew Edmondson. He is leading right now with 50.33% of the vote. Kevin Stitt, the Republican, has 47.23% of the vote. And Chris Powell, the Libertarian, has 2.44% of the vote. So that's just 87,000 people that have voted in the statewide race. We don't have any actual precincts reporting, but those are some interesting early results, some positive news. I'm sure that there's some cheering at the Democratic Watch Party, and we'll check in with them in just a little bit.
Yeah, that's still very early. We have a long way to go tonight. Still no precincts reporting, but those are results from those absentee and early voting numbers. Now, for some context and a look ahead for the night, let's head now to the live Oklahoma Engaged Watch Party at the Oklahoma City University School of Law with our host, Dick Pryor.
Jacob, I'm here with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. Sean and I bring you Capital Insider each week on KGOU. And Sean, every election is about the future, but today's election is the climax of almost a year of political churn in Oklahoma. We talk about it every week. The teacher walkout seemed to set the stage for an unpredictable year.
That's exactly right. And really, one of the interesting things I think to watch in tonight's results will be those for three House candidates and one Senate candidate. The four people on the ballot tonight who voted against House Bill 1010XX, the revenue-raising measure. Those are Gann in House District 8, Hardin in House District 49, Kevin West in House District 54, and Senator Mike Allen in Senate District 4.
Indeed, it was the end of the line for several incumbents this year, and it was directly tied, apparently, to their vote on that particular bill.
Yes, we saw that in the primary, where a number of Republican incumbents went down and lost their bids for re-election. And then that carried over into the primary runoff in August, when we saw additional incumbents go down. A total of 11 House incumbents have lost their seats, all individuals who voted against the revenue-raising measure.
The governor's race is the most expensive in state history, and it appears to have tightened over the last few weeks. The Cook Political Report ranks it a toss-up. That's extraordinary in Oklahoma.
That's extraordinary in Oklahoma, given the gains we've seen by Republicans in the House and the Senate the last several years, and the general strength that we saw of Governor Mary Fallon just 4 years ago when she sought re-election. As these early results are coming in, the mail-in and in-person absentee ballots, I think it's interesting that Drew Edmondson has a lead, because according to the State Election Board this morning, over 50% of the absentee ballots were cast by Republicans. Yet with half the absentee ballots cast, we see Edmondson getting a slight lead.
And turnout indeed will be a story we'll be watching tonight. It was expected to be heavy today. Thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
We'll have our first panel discussion of today's vote in Oklahoma in just about half an hour. Reporting from the Oklahoma Engaged Watch Party, I'm Dick Pryor.
Thanks, Dick. We'll be checking in throughout the night with you and with our reporters that are spread out at watch parties across the state. We're continuing to watch the ballot initiatives, the statewide races, including the race for governor and the balance of power in the legislature. If there are no upsets tonight, 40% of the House of Representatives will have never served before.
And we're keeping an eye on that tight race for governor as well. We do have a few more precincts reporting at this time, and both Stitt and Edmondson are both tied with 48%. You're listening to Special Oklahoma Engage election coverage. I'm Jacob McClellan.
And I'm Rachel Hubbard. We're getting ready to head to Dick Pryor and our live watch party. But first, we want to update a couple of results in the Oklahoma gubernatorial race. Kevin Stitt has opened up a lead against Democrat Drew Edmondson and Libertarian Chris Powell. Already, ABC News and NBC Politics have declared that race for Kevin Stitt, the Republican political outsider, 55.5% of the vote to Drew Edmondson's 41% of the vote. We now have 63% of the precincts reporting in that race. Also, as we look at the state questions, State Question 793 has by far been the most competitive of the state questions on the ballot tonight. And right now, it is failing by a very, very narrow margin, 50.04%
wow.
against the proposal, 49.96% for the proposal, less than 500 votes separating the two.
And that's that eye doctor question, right? So you really have to squint to be able to see the difference
between the yes and no votes. Yeah.
Yes.
those are two of the really tight races that we're following with the gubernatorial race and also with State Question 793.
And another really close one is Congressional District Number 5. That's the incumbent is Republican Steve Russell, and he is trailing his challenger Kendra Horn by just over 1,000 votes at this point. So that one is also a super tight race, and one we'll continue to watch as the evening progresses. And as you mentioned, Rachel, Kevin Stitt has opened up a pretty large lead in the governor's race, and Jackie Fortier is at the GOP watch party for us this evening. Hey, Jackie, what's the mood at the watch party right now?
Everybody's in a pretty good mood right now. We're seeing Representative Tom Cole, who just got reelected, along with Senator Lankford, kind of making the rounds and talking to people. They haven't made the official call yet, so we'll see what the screams sound like when they do.
That's Jackie Fortier at the GOP watch party here in Oklahoma City. And Joe Wirtz, he is actually at the Democratic watch party. We'll hopefully be hearing from Joe here before too long to hear a little bit about what the environment is like there with the Drew Edmondson campaign. But as we said, Kevin Stitt right now with about 55% of the vote, opening up a lead over Drew Edmondson for the gubernatorial race. All other statewide races, Rachel, at this point, the GOP has a pretty sizable lead in all of those. But there are a few other races that we'll be watching tonight, including some legislative races, as well as that Congressional District 5 race in which Democratic challenger Kendra Horn has a very slight lead, Rachel.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that we're watching in the state legislative races, based upon what we're tracking here, we have several races that are very, very competitive. And it appears that Democrats were very hopeful going into tonight. It appears that they may actually lose some seats in the state legislature. Incumbent Donnie Condit, a Democrat, he 95% of the precincts reporting, he has 48% of the vote in that race. So we're actually seeing that the Democrats, who already had a tiny minority in the state legislature, may actually lose some seats, and the Republicans may increase their supermajority there.
And what I think will be interesting, we'll be watching how those urban and rural districts go if we see more urban districts going to Democrats during this election cycle, and more of those urban or those rural Democrats losing to Republicans as the night goes on. Now, we do have Joe Wirtz. He is at the Drew Edmondson watch party right now. And Joe, what's the environment like right now?
Well, people here are starting to get a little less hopeful. They've been energetic in a packed ballroom the entire night, but are starting to get a little bit more somber as they refresh their phones. Looks like a couple of the major TV networks are projecting a Stitt victory. But, you know, look, a lot of these people are holding out hope and are certainly being vocal. I talked to a few supporters outside of the ballroom just now, and both are politically active women, And both are motivated by one thing, and that's education. One woman, is tired of rundown classrooms and underpaid teachers, and teachers leaving for Texas. The other one I talked to was a teacher in South Oklahoma City. The politics crystallized for her at the 9-day teacher walkout in the spring, and she said Democrat Jared Hinson was out there every day rallying with the teachers. And she said she won't forget that, and other teachers are going to remember that too, you know, even if they don't get their preferred candidate in the governor's mansion tonight. Still at Jared Edmondson's watch party in Oklahoma City, I'm Joe Wirtz.
Thanks, Joe. And we also have our own watch party with Dick Pryor and several panels. And Dick, we're seeing some of the things sort of fall in place here with some of the results. What's the mood at our watch party?
Well, it's an interesting mood up here on the stage because we're looking at some numbers in Oklahoma County right now. Keith Gaddy, you've been taking a look at what's transpiring in Oklahoma County, and part of it relates to the CD5 race.
Yeah, CD5 is really very interesting because the two outlying counties have come in strongly for Congressman Russell, but this is not where most of the vote is. Most of the vote is in Oklahoma County, and you take away Tinker and the area south of that, that's the balance of the district. And what's happened is Kendra Horn is leading in that area and has, what, Cheryl, about a 900 vote margin right now. And the balance of votes left to come in need to come in from outlying areas, northwest Oklahoma City, but also a good bit of center city, mid-city, and to the south. So there are a lot of Democratic precincts that haven't reported yet. Also, and so Congressman Russell's looking at a long night right now.
Also, NBC has already reported that Kevin Stitt will win the gubernatorial race in Oklahoma, but there are a lot of precincts still to come in urban areas in Oklahoma.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
No.
The vote margin's just too great for Jared Hinson to overcome at this point. I mean, even if he won overwhelmingly in these metropolitan areas that are outstanding, there's just simply no way for him to come back at this point in the evening.
I want to go back to the 5th District race briefly. It's going to be the closest one, no matter how it turns out, since Lori Williams versus Ernest Iztook, the year that Iztook upset, you know, Mickey Edwards in the primary. And that's interesting. I don't know what that means precisely because the district is drawn differently, but nonetheless, you know, Democratic woman and a Republican man.
A migration towards more, you know, progressive candidates in Oklahoma County for sure. But Kendra Horn has stayed focused on one issue, that is health care. She has pounded it and pounded it and pounded it, and it's paying off for her. And I frankly think that she may have caught Steve Russell just a little bit asleep this election cycle.
She's also been well financed.
Well, she's outraised Steve Russell in that last quarter by a four-time margin. Outraising an incumbent congressman by four times as much in the last quarter, I think, says, you know, Steve Russell may be caught asleep here, but Kendra Horn has just been a phenomenal candidate.
And she did that in the first quarter, too, the very first full quarter of the campaign season.
And if she wins
the top
tonight,
fundraiser.
It will be one of the biggest national stories, not just in Oklahoma, but one of the biggest national political stories.
Because she never hit the national radar screen as far as the targeted races, the leaning races, or any, you know, anything as far as a toss-up. They never listed her. She never really hit that, but yet she's overperformed what you know, they thought she was going to.
It is the big surprise, but it also plays into a larger dynamic of what's happening in Oklahoma. We're getting a look at the next 10 years of voting. One thing we ought to take note of is Republicans are averaging about 58% for statewide offices this year where they've got a Democratic opponent. That was the floor for Republicans in the last two cycles, and now it's the ceiling. The likely governor-elect is trailing that by about 7 points. He's trailing most of the other statewide Republicans contested in contest by about 7 points, coming in the low 50s. So you've got to see, and the other thing is, the Democrats are winning the urban areas by substantially greater margins than they're doing in the rural areas. That's a complete flip in the state. The Dems are going to run 20 points better in the urban areas than they do in the rural areas. Pat, you remember, it used to be the exact opposite. And all the growth is in the 6 counties in Oklahoma County and the surrounding area and the 4 counties up around Tulsa. That's the state 10 years from now. So
we saw that Steve Copeland, one of the Democratic leaders, and Donnie Condon, who just, this would be his last term if he still prevails, were both looked like they were having a hard time getting reelected as Democrats. That's pretty surprising to me because they're both comparatively moderate. Would you agree?
And two Democratic seats caucus? Have already flipped tonight. Brian Reniger's seat down in McAllister has flipped. Chuck Hoskins Sr.'s seat up in Vinita has flipped to Republican candidates.
Well, you're the last Democrat elected to the state house in Seminole County. So I think we'll continue to see this pulling away of rural and urban Oklahoma.
We'll talk more later. Pat McGuigan, Ryan Kiesel, Cheryl Lovelady, Keith Gaddy, thanks very much. And from the Oklahoma Engage Watch Party, I'm Dick Pryor.
Thanks, Dick, and our panels. Some of the races that we are following in the state house of representatives that in House District 4, which was a seat where incumbent George Fott was unseated in the primary, that appears with 93% of the precincts reporting that Chris Sneed, the Republican who beat Fott, will retain that seat for Republicans. Donnie Condit, the Democrat that was just mentioned, he would be going into his last term. With 95% of the precincts reporting, he has 48% of the vote, almost 49% compared to Republican David Smith, 51% of the vote. And Steve Copeland, he is currently prevailing with just about 100 votes, 51%. That is just south of Tulsa in the Beggs and Okmulgee area. And keep in mind that Copeland is the Democratic leader. He took over after Democratic Representative Scott Inman stepped down and from the leadership position and indicated that he would end his gubernatorial campaign. In House District 25, Todd Thompson, the Republican, was term limited in that district. It is 49% for Republican Ronnie Johns, 46% for Democrat Daniel Manuel, and Independent Gary Rines is really making a difference in this particular seat with 4.8% of the vote. Race that was close earlier in the evening, but the incumbent Republican Todd Russ has pulled ahead. This is out in Western Oklahoma in House District 55. He has 53% of the vote over Democratic challenger Dennis Duggars, 47% of the vote. In House District 62, this is down in the Lawton area, John Michael Montgomery, the Republican representative who was the incumbent, chose to run for state Senate. The Democrat Larry Bush, nearly 53% of the vote in that race. So that would be a flip from Republican to Democrat in that particular race. But that is running against the grain that we're really seeing here tonight.
You know, we are seeing a similar picture in the Oklahoma Senate tonight as well. There are 19 races statewide on the ballot, and Democrats are currently winning 4 of them. One of them would be George Young. He has a very substantial lead for re-election. But two of those could potentially be flips. In David Holt's old seat in Oklahoma City, Julie Kurt is currently winning that race. And also the Democrat is winning the race in Senate District 4 in Oklahoma City. Carrie Hicks is the Democrat in that race. She's beating Joe Howell in that one. The other seat in which Democrats are winning is the Senate District in which Mary Boren is running, and she's grown a substantial lead in that district as well. But yet, generally, what we're seeing Democrats doing well in urban areas, not so well in rural areas in the Senate as well.
And looking at some of the things, it's a really fascinating year in the House of Representatives and the state legislature. When we ended the legislative session, many members just quit. We had several others that were term limited. 12 members of the House were term limited out. Another 11 chose not to run again. Of the 19 Republican House members who voted against that tax increase that funded the teacher pay raise, most will not return. 8 were defeated in primaries. 7 were term limited or decided not to seek re-election. And only 4 advanced to the general election. Also, this really fascinating thing that came out between the runoff and the general election, there was a super PAC PAC. These are these dark money funding groups that targeted several House members who voted against the teacher pay raise. Republican Representative Chris Kennedy helped orchestrate what the New York Times described as a purge of conservative hardliners, and they were doing this to try to keep their Republican majority, a strategy that appears to be working based upon the results that we're seeing tonight. And Kevin Stitt is projected by at least two national news outlets to be the winner in Oklahoma's gubernatorial race. We're going to head back to Jackie Fortier, who is at the Stitt campaign. And Jackie, it appears that the chanting is getting a little louder.
Yeah, every time they put up a new election result, people start yelling. They haven't quite called it, though, for Kevin Stitt yet. We haven't seen him. The candidates are actually in a separate room. Sometimes they come out and chat with people, but we have not seen Mr. Stitt yet this night.
And Jackie, what are people like? Is this what they expected? They expected a fairly easy victory for Stitt?
It seems so. The people that I've talked to here really like that he has this outsider business perspective, and they are likening him to Donald Trump. They say that that's why they voted for him. They like that he has this outside perspective and isn't involved in politics. So from the people that I've talked to, it seems like aligning himself with President Trump's policies and outsider status has worked for him, at least for the voters in this room.
And are you hearing anything at the watch party about what appears to be an even greater Republican majority in the state legislature at the Stitt party?
No, we haven't had any comments or anything by the GOP chair. Everybody's just kind of congratulating and grabbing some more drinks right now, but nobody has really discussed anything. We also have Fox News up on the front, so they're not paying real close attention really to what's going on in Oklahoma.
All right. Well, thanks, Jackie, for your reporting. Jacob.
Sure.
Yeah, we're currently seeing that about 83% of precincts in the state are reporting at this time. And Kevin Stitt, as we mentioned, has really grown a pretty large lead at this point over Drew Edmondson. He currently has 55% as compared to 41% for Edmondson. And there have been some news outlets that have called that race for Kevin Stitt. The Associated Press still has not called it, though, for Stitt at this time. We're going to turn now to Dick Pryor. He is at our watch party. Dick, how's it going over there?
Well, everybody's watching the gubernatorial race right now, and as I'm looking at my panel members here beside me, Joe Dorman, Gary Jones, and Jeanette Mendez, everyone is on their cell phone checking out numbers, and I can tell you, as you just mentioned, we're looking at the Kevin Stitt numbers of 55% of the vote compared to Drew Edmondson's 41%, with about 82% of the precincts reporting. And Joe, that number sounds very familiar to you.
I have nightmares about those numbers because that's the exact same turnout what I saw in 2014. Mary won with 55.4% and I had 41%.
So why that number?
That is a really good question. That would be a good analysis of the voters to find out what drove them compared to 4 years ago. For that to be the exact same turnout, I had $1.5 million in my campaign. I believe Drew had about $5 million. And for it to be the exact same percentage, that's interesting.
Do you remember your total votes?
I lost by about 122,000. It was roughly 800,000 votes total. So it was about, I want to say, 360 to 230.
Right now, Drew Edmondson is 125,000 votes behind.
So that was the exact same number.
So there you go. Gary Jones, you were on the campaign trail against Kevin Stitt. I remember about 11 months ago, I emceed a candidate forum. You were part of it. So was Kevin Stitt. There were five others. And a lot of people had no idea who he was. Now he's on the verge of being elected governor. How did that happen?
You have $10 to $11 million to spend. You can buy name recognition. The other thing too is when you're a newcomer, you basically have a blank slate. No one can take a shot at you for your record or anything you voted for. You know, now he does have a record as far as a businessman, but you basically can hire the best consultants when you have that kind of money and lay out your plan. And he ran an extremely good campaign, especially in the primary. They did a lot of polling. They figured out what people wanted to hear, and they were able to deliver that message.
just as Drew Edmondson did in the general election campaign, you ran on experience. Does experience not make a difference?
Well, there is such an anti-governmental mentality right now. Anybody that has any ties to government whatsoever, you know, the mantra that the people that caused the problem aren't going to fix it. Well, guess what? Not everybody in government caused the problem. Some of us have been standing up and saying, you know, I'm the one that put the plan together that gave teachers a pay raise, 1010XX. It didn't help me in the Republican primary, but you know what? We got something fixed. And I, that's one thing I'm hearing that's a little bit contradictory is people are wanting somebody that can go in and solve problems. And when you have, I mean, we have a governor right now that has about 17% positive, about 70-something percent negative.
Gary Fallon.
And anybody that happens to be in office right now is tainted by that. But even incumbents are running, and they're not mentioning the fact they're running for re-election. They're not mentioning their history, their records, and things like that. They're talking about issues, but they're not mentioning the fact that they have a record.
Jeanette, why do you think that is happening?
Well, I think in our state, we are skeptical of career politicians. That's why we have term limits. I mean, not all states put in place term limits, but you put in place term limits because you think that you don't want to have a career politician. And so I think Oklahoma already has that kind of legacy in there, built in. But we see a president that's very successful in running on this message. We see a very Republican base in Oklahoma, an unsuccessful governor. And I think Gary's right. Stitt ran a really good campaign talking about being an outsider, being a businessman. He matched up with a lot of the things Trump was saying, and he was able to be a Republican who also was trying to distance himself from Fallon, and it all kind of lines up. I mean, to me, the interesting thing is I don't think we got any redder in this election. So to hear that from 2014 to 2018, the numbers, I think the turnout's going to be higher than it was, than what Joe was saying, but the percentages are going to be similar, so I don't think there's kind of a red wave taking over Oklahoma anymore. I think that pendulum will start to shift back, but it'll take a little time.
Democrats' areas are getting more and more red. I mean, I can remember when I became chairman of the Republican Party, the second congressional district had zero state senators that were Republican. Today, every one of them are Republican, every last one of them. And so when you're looking, and you're going to see some races tonight in the inner cities, Tulsa and Oklahoma City, where Democrats are going to win, but you're also going to see Republicans pick up areas in the rural areas.
Joe, I know you want to follow up, but we have some breaking news. The Associated Press has announced that Kevin Stitt is elected governor of Oklahoma.
One of the interesting things about that, too, and this goes back well over a year, I met Kevin Stitt at an event, and this was when I was the director for the Oklahoma Institute for Child Advocacy. We visited about my race. He asked me to come up to Jinx and sit down with him for an hour, and he debriefed me for an hour about what I went through in the race, about ideas. You could tell he sincerely wanted to learn and wanted to know. And no offense to Gary. Gary has my cell phone. He calls me all the time. But Kevin was the only candidate that asked to sit down with me. And I was impressed then, and I had a gut feeling that he was going to do very well in the race.
And he's been predicted to be the next governor of the state of Oklahoma. Joe Dorman? Yes, Gary Jones.
Congressional District 5 right now, Steve Russell is within 300 votes.
Okay, got to wrap it up. Thanks, Gary, Jeanette, Joe, thanks very much. From the Oklahoma Engage Watch Party, I'm Dick Pryor.
I love you all. Thank you for being here. Now let's make this state better. Thank you very much.
That was Democratic gubernatorial candidate Drew Edmondson giving his concession speech. Kevin Stitt, the political outsider, owner, CEO of a mortgage company in Tulsa, becomes the next governor of the state of Oklahoma. Stitt is the Republican in that race. And we're following a couple of really tight races. One of those is Congressional District 5. We have Caroline Halter. Caroline, Democrats tonight have been watching this race. It is much closer than the polls anticipated. What's the mood that you're hearing tonight from Democrats in Central Oklahoma?
Hi, yeah, I'm at the Democratic Watch Party in Oklahoma City, and it's been a disappointing evening at the state level. We just heard concession speeches from several of the statewide candidates, but people are sticking around because they want to see what happens in the 5th Congressional District. And that is the race between Democrat Kendra Horn and incumbent Republican Steve Russell. if Horn wins, which right now she's looking like she might win by about 1%, it would be a big upset. She has been trailing in the polls, but she has drummed up a lot of support, particularly in Oklahoma City, and she actually outraised Russell. So she could win, and some news outlets are already predicting that she will win. She has made health care a central issue and actually tried to tie Russell to some state issues like school funding.
And are the Democrats there surprised at how well she's doing?
Yeah, I think everybody is surprised. You know, it's a tough race, and like I said, the polls showed her trailing. But I think she drummed up a lot of support and enthusiasm with her Flip the Fifth hashtag and just the idea that Oklahoma City could vote blue.
All right. Well, thanks, Caroline Halter. She's at the Democratic Watch Party in Oklahoma City. And we're going to head to our own watch party. This is an independent watch party where we have panelists analyzing the results as they're coming in with our host, Dick Pryor. Dick, what's going on? What do our panelists have to say about what's happening, especially in that 5th Congressional District?
Well, obviously, we are watching the 5th Congressional District race, and Kendra Horn has been widening her lead. It's now up to about 3,500 votes difference, with almost 51% of the vote for the challenger, Kendra Horn. Cheryl Lovelady, did you see this coming?
I don't think so. And neither did anyone at the national level. Here's a person that was never on the national radar screen, but it has proven tonight that if you have a good candidate with a good message, with a good organization, which a lot of Democrats, particularly in Oklahoma, do not have, you can prevail. She's going to wind up, I think, in a position of pretty big power in Washington. If the trends hold true and the Democrats take control of the House, she'll be one of four or five key players that made that happen.
Right now, the House is 122-123. It's dead even, essentially, but still more votes to be counted in many more races on the West Coast, and they haven't shut down just yet.
Right.
Pat McGuigan, what about the 5th Congressional race? We've known for some time that that particular district would be trending more Democratic, but that maybe this was not going to be the year.
I guess running a community newspaper, I've been watching it evolve, and not, you know, real rapidly but methodically over about 25 years. And I mentioned earlier the Lori Williams Ernest Istook race. This always looked competitive because of her ability to raise money on her own. But then here at the end, the $400,000 independent expenditure from Bloomberg certainly didn't hurt to finish the job for her. Her role is going to be magnified because the House is going to be so close. If Democrats do take control by a few votes, she will be a star of the freshman class, not because of the net shift of 25 or 27 or 28, but because of the narrow margin, and she's one of them in a place like Oklahoma.
And she's done it without any coattails in the state.
She drug everybody else along to the extent that she could, and I think that when she walks into Congress, she's going to have, because, and if you know, the $400,000 that came in at the end, I don't think it had that big of a difference, because if you look at the early voting and the absentee voting, that's where she crushed it. That's where she won this evening, and those were votes that were ostensibly cast before viewers were looking at the $400,000 independent expenditure ad buy that went in over the weekend. Kendra won this deal on her own, and she won it with the early vote.
That's Ryan Keith. Keith Gaddy.
And part of what's going on here is part of something that we're seeing nationally, which is when we're looking at women who are challenging suburban Republicans right now, you've got Kendra Horn beating Steve Russell in this district, and that looks like a win. You've got Carolyn Bordeaux over in Georgia 7, which is suburban Atlanta, beating Rob Woodall, who's an incumbent. And then up in suburban Richmond, up in Fredericksburg towards D.C., you've got Congressman David Brack going down in that district. So this is indicative. This is part of when you've got a woman versus male candidate in these suburban districts right now, these women are prevailing. So Kendra has activated something specific to her constituency, but also something that's more generally going on, this movement of voters in suburbs away from the Republican Party. We should also note Congressman Pete Sessions down in Dallas has lost to a candidate of color. So we're seeing a lot of change going on in the suburbs right now. Republicans are being selectively punished in a variety of suburbs, even if they've done everything right. But Kendra Horn ran a masterful campaign, and yeah, the money came from a lot of places, but that's how you beat people, is you get money.
And Steve Russell, I think, was caught sleeping on this one, too. I really do. He was a low-level campaign, didn't hear from him until the very end. And so I think he kind of got caught sleeping.
One other race that is not in Oklahoma, but it's one that many people find very interesting, especially in southwestern Oklahoma and southern Oklahoma, is the U.S. Senate race in Texas. That has just been called by the Associated Press for Ted Cruz over Beto O'Rourke. Let's come back to Oklahoma for just a moment. It has been an exceedingly good night for Republicans across the board in the state of Oklahoma, Kendra Horn and Steve Russell's race notwithstanding. What does that say about where Oklahoma is right now, as things are shifting around the country, but Oklahoma is continuing to be a strongly Republican state?
Well, Oklahoma is never, ever at the front end of a trend. We may be in the middle of the country, but we're not in the middle of trends. We're at the tail end of those. I think, you know, I've got a pollster sitting next to me and a professor. I mean, tell me if I'm right, but they never really.
Which is Keith Gaddy, by the way.
That's Keith Gaddy. So I don't think that Oklahoma ever really follows the nation in real time. It's always on the tail end.
We've always sat here as a rock against which other tides kind of break. But the thing is, yeah, the GOP did well, as it should have. This state's still a decade away from a full shift, but they had to work very hard for it, and the Republican Party has been pulled back to the middle. The fever broke. The caucuses have been purged. A lot of the Republican vulnerability got taken care of in the primaries.
Well, I think the relationship between Stitt and Pinnell, who pretty much look at the world in similar ways, and the legislature, including some of that shift you referred to, is going to be very interesting, because the base is conservative, but you now have some legislators that, because of a lot of different circumstances, aren't as conservative. So combined with the Democrats, they're going to be high 40% to maybe just over a majority on some issues in the legislature.
That's the final word for right now from the Oklahoma Engaged Watch Party. I'm Dick Pryor.
And you're listening to Oklahoma Engaged special coverage. We're going to update some of the really tight races that we continue to follow, including State Question 793. We just have 27 precincts out of nearly 2,000 precincts out. So, 1951, that's the total number of precincts in the state of Oklahoma. We have 27 that are still outstanding. There is less than a percentage point separating yes and no. State Question 793, this is the eye care state question. Right now, that proposal is failing by about 5,000 votes, so it appears that state law will stay the same. Also, State Question 801, that would have allowed local school districts to choose to use their building funds for other expenses, things like the teacher pay raises. That question also is failing, and that the margin there is 10,000 votes. So 573,662 against 563,000 for that proposal. And then that Congressional District 5 race, we still have just a few precincts outstanding on that race, six precincts outstanding in Oklahoma City, Edmond, Seminole, and Shawnee. Kendra Horn has a 3,000 vote lead in that Congressional District 5 race. She is the Democrat challenging Republican Steve Russell. We're still tabulating the results in the Oklahoma House and the Oklahoma Senate. But one thing that we do want to note, Attorney General Attorney General Mike Hunter won. Well, he didn't win re-election. This was his first time to run for election. You may remember that Hunter was appointed by Governor Mary Fallon to take over the unexpired term of Scott Pruitt when he was appointed by President Donald Trump to lead the Environmental Protection Agency. So this is Hunter's first time to actually run for that office. He won handily over Democratic challenger Mark Miles. And Quentin Chandler has spent the evening at Hunter's watch party.
It was a pretty packed house tonight, very light mood at the Attorney General's watch party. Mike Hunter. Hunter was facing Democratic challenger Mark Miles, who is a lawyer by trade and has a background in business as well. Miles was down, currently is still down about 30 points. He was down win by that much when the vote was called, when the results were called. Supporters here at the rally or watch party said that Hunter would be apolitical and had integrity, and that was what they were looking for from an attorney general. Hunter himself spoke after the results came in and said that he was going to continue trying to bring opioid manufacturers. He said he was going to continue to try and bring opioid manufacturers to justice for opioid abuses here in the state. He also is looking to address criminal justice reform in his next term as Attorney General. He said that we need to address diversionary programs, funding for drug abuse, and that the legislature and all the state agencies and county agencies need to work together to address the problems we have in the state.
That's Quentin Chandler at the Mike Hunter Watch Party. And we have our own watch party tonight for our Oklahoma Engage project. And we are now going to go to our host of the watch party, Dick Pryor. Dick Pryor, how's it going?
It's going well, Jacob. Thank you. And we are back at OCU's Law School with Pat McGuigan, Joe Dorman, Jeanette Mendez, and Keith Gaddy. And we're talking about what is going on in this 5th District Congressional race. And I want to come to you, Jeanette, first. With Kendra Horn winning, she was, of course, involved in Sally's List. There were a lot of women, especially, that were interested in this race. Money makes a big difference. But organizationally, she also did some things that led to her success tonight with Steve Russell just in the last 5 minutes conceding.
I think so. I think she ran a really effective campaign, and she ran a long campaign. So she's been on the campaign quite a long time. She had a really successful primary season, in fact, nearly securing the primary outright without going into a runoff with multiple candidates. But I think she's been campaigning for a couple years. She had a strong organization. She was out there campaigning, knocking on doors, getting her name out there right from the get-go. I don't think she ran really as a woman's candidate in a way that we might see some traditional women's candidates, but she did secure that vote. I do think that she did quite a few women's events, but I don't think that was central to her campaign.
Well, I would argue that she started getting her name recognition 4 years ago as my campaign manager when I ran for governor, because we sent out a lot of emails with her name on it, and she developed a good base.
I got them.
Yes, you did. And it was fantastic to watch this campaign move along. She did start at the right time. She had the right momentum. She outraised the colonel multiple cycles. They had a legitimate team in place and ran a real race. You look back 4 years ago on the numbers, in my race with Governor Fallon, Governor Fallon had previously been the 5th District Congresswoman. I got 47% there. That told me that this district was starting to trend. Kendra was the right candidate at the right time with the right message to deliver a win in Oklahoma.
The other big story tonight, of course, is the governor's race, won by Kevin Stitt and Pat McGuigan. In August of this year, just in August, only 19% of Oklahomans said the state was on the right track. 67% of Oklahomans said we're on the wrong track. Drew Edmondson's campaign attached Mary Fallon with an approval rating hovering around 20% to Kevin Stitt, yet Kevin Stitt wins.
Well, I think Stitt did, you know, the thing he had to do politically, and he may actually believe it. I'm quite a critic of Fallon, and when I supported Joe 4 years ago, it was because what I said to friends was, I'll take an authentic moderate Democrat over a fake conservative any day. And Stitt made it very clear he was going to govern as a conservative. He's going to have problems because of the different chemistry with the legislature. Now, I think one of the great untold stories of the last 5 years in Oklahoma politics is the higher value that George Dorman brought with only $1 million versus the value that Edmondson bought with $5 million. I'll just leave it at that, getting almost the same percentage of the vote with a lot less money.
We have less than a minute to go, so this is dangerous going to Keith Gaddy, but you've got your laptop open in front of you with a lot of pretty pictures there looking at the national map.
Looking at the national map, Oklahoma in governor's races is staying away from a national trend. Kansas is going to have a Democratic governor. Iowa, it appears, is going to have a Democratic governor. Wisconsin is probably going to have a Democratic governor. Ohio is up in the air, but we'll probably have a Democratic governor. Georgia and Florida, we're waiting to hear on. Florida is, we could be headed, I know everybody hates to hear this, we could be headed to recount territory in Florida. Democrats are picking up Maine. This all has consequences for redistricting.
And we'll talk more about all of that in the next hour. Pat McGuigan, Joe Dorman, Jeanette Mendez, Keith Gaddy, thanks very much. And from the Oklahoma Engaged Watch Party, I'm Dick Pryor.
Thank you very much, Dick. And on State Question 793, that's the eye care state question that was on the ballot today. The Yes on 793 group has issued a statement conceding that race, saying that while they're disappointed in tonight's outcome, they're excited that they brought this to the attention of voters. That has been a very close race throughout the night. There are still some precincts out, but as of at this time, on that particular one, that's the eye care question, the no vote has the lead with a little more than about 4,500 votes over the yes vote. So that one apparently has failed at this point. Also, Rachel, on the state Senate side, with my calculations, there were 24 state Senate seats up for election day. Some didn't have opponents. But the breakdown of those 24 today will be 17 Republicans and 7 Democrats. And according to my calculations, in the full Senate in the next session, it will be 39 Republicans and 9 Democrats in that body, according to my calculations, Rachel.
So we're still tabulating in the House of Representatives because some of those precincts were still out. But one of the things that we do know, we've been following carefully the teacher caucus. And tonight, it appears that 12 teachers did win their races. 8 of those were Republicans. 4 of those were Democrats. So they didn't fare as well as they hoped, but there still were 12 teachers that won. That is, it's far better than they did in 2016, though it's not quite as well as they had hoped. We will have more coverage coming up in just about 15 minutes, but we're heading back now to coverage from NPR. This is Oklahoma Engaged coverage.
You're listening to special Oklahoma Engaged election coverage brought to you by the Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation and the Kirkpatrick Foundation on KGOU Norman at 106.3 FM, KROU Spencer, Oklahoma City at 105.7 FM, KWOU Woodward at 88.1 FM, KQOU Clinton at 89.1 FM, KOUA Ada at 91.9 FM.
And KOSU Stillwater, Oklahoma City at 91.7 FM.